And so today I want to begin in Psalm 104. And we're just going to read through the entire psalm, and then I'm going to talk to you about some things that are standing strong in my heart that I want to share with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who covers yourself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. I just pause there. It's just a thought, but I think it is very interesting. Some of those who are proponents of evolution try to use the measurement of distance by light, because we know when you come into these vast expanses of space, we understand light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And there are some places in the universe where light is millions of years away. And so a lot of proponents for evolution say that. How could there be these millions of light years away? But it's beautifully answered right here. When God created everything, he stretched it out. I mean, God just propelled it in his magnificence and might. And that's why you could have light from stretching millions of years away. That's an explanation of how the Bible would say God has done that. He lays the beams of his chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. And that just simply means that God is not confined. God is the creator of everything that is, but he is not confined to his creation. He moves freely at will inside of it and outside of it. We dwell in time, space, and matter, but God does not. He dwells in the eternal now for God. And I think that's one of the reasons the Bible says now faith is, because God is a now God. And so God is in control of everything. He makes his angels, spirits, and his ministers flaming fire. And that's been a prayer for my life, especially in ministry, that I just want to be that flame of fire for God. I want to burn for the Lord. I want my life to be consumed with a passion for Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that not me and not a theological school and not a group of people can make me that flame of fire, but God can. Thank God he can. He makes his ministers flames of fire, and who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be alarmed by a lot of the alarmists that are telling us about the things that are going to happen in the earth, or the possibilities of the climate change, or all these things. They're talking about an asteroid possibly coming very close to the earth in the next few years, maybe even striking the earth, which would be devastating, moving it out of its orbit. God is in control of it all. And the Bible even says in Revelation how God has already projected and prophesied the meteorite showers that are going to strike the earth. But it's all according to his will. It's not out of control. We as Christians don't have to be afraid. We need to be the people of peace and the people of calm. While the world is so disturbed, we're the ones with the answer. And we need to give that answer with confidence and boldness. And the Bible says in verse 6, who covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which you have founded for them. You have set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Probably alluding to Noah's flood and how God has set the bounds of the water so that they will not cover the earth again. He sends the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. And I just want you to look at God's care of creation for just a moment. These waters that God sends into the earth now, they give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he has planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows his going down, which makes darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. And then the sun rises, and they gather themselves together and lay down in their dens. And man goes forth to work and to his labor until the evening or the night. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches. So is the great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom you have made to play therein. These all wait upon you, that you may give them their meat in due season, that you give them, they gather. Or that thou givest them, they gather. You open your hand, they are filled with good. Notice this. You hide your face, and they are troubled. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. And this psalm obviously celebrates the magnificence of God. It celebrates that God is the creator, and that God is created with such a specific intention that within his creation, everything that exists and the life that is in it can be sustained by the richness that God has provided for the earth. Whether it's the rain that feeds the beast and the birds, or the trees that the birds dwell in, or the oceans that the sea creatures live in, or man that is upon the earth who is able to work peacefully during the day while the wild beasts are asleep in their dens at night, God has orchestrated it all to perfection and to his delight. And God watches over it. And we see that as winter comes and things in the earth die. And then the spring comes and the Spirit of God breathes upon the earth and things begin to bud back to life again. It is all from the engineering of God. How magnificent he is. How brilliant. How spectacular the Lord is. But truly, guys, one of the great points of creation is for us to look at the Creator. This psalm closes with celebration of God, and it celebrates a man who recognizes the sinners and the righteous, the sinners who give no regard to God, the sinners who live in God's creation as though God does not exist, who take for granted God's air, God's oxygen, God's food, God's riches, and God's wealth that he has planted within the earth for the sinner to live in. But he disregards not only those things, but God himself. And the psalmist says, may they be purged from the earth. And we know that one day they will. But better yet, may they be saved and redeemed and brought into right relationship with God. But the righteous rejoice in the Lord, and the righteous give praise to God. Because all of creation is telling us, don't be fascinated with the stars and fascinated with creation and fascinated with the creatures in the sea, the land animals, but look at God. Look how wonderful, look how magnificent, look how brilliant God is that has made everything. There's a song, there's a passage in Romans 1 that we'll come to in just a moment that declares some of these wonders of God and how our attention should be upon the Lord. And I do want us to read it in just a moment. But everything in creation is pointing us to God. And that's the purpose of it, is to see the Lord and to understand the things of God. The Lord declares these things to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof if you know? Who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof are fastened? Who laid the cornerstone of it? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine these brilliant angels that God created? These angels that are full of variety and in themselves full of majesty, possessing even in themselves a glory that God has allowed them to have. Some of these creatures are absolutely fascinating, multi-faced, and magnificent in their brilliance, speaking when they do, even with the sounds of great waters. And there they are as God had created them. And as he's saying this with Job, he gets the angels around him and he says, you want to see something amazing? Just watch. And there they are. And God just speaks into the nothingness. Let there be light. And all of a sudden, light is there. And the angels are shouting for joy. They're seeing things that never existed that suddenly exist. They're seeing variety of colors. They begin to see the splendor of the universe, the creation of suns and moons and solar systems and galaxies and the powers of God. And all the angels can do is shout for joy in the Lord. Oh, how magnificent. Would to God the redeemed would shout. I mean, what God has done for us, even in putting away our sins. Imagine it. I do. I can just imagine God saying to the angels, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. And they're just stunned as God would begin to create things out of nothing. Probably the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing they got to watch was the sacrifice of God's own son, Jesus Christ. And maybe God pulled them around and said, you've seen a lot, but watch this. And as he would die and he would go into the grave, and 3 days later, he would come forth as the new creation, a new man on the earth. But God wasn't finished. Watch this. Watch this, as God the Holy Ghost would enter into 120 people in an upper room, and the church was born, something that had never existed before, now is there. God is still calling his creation to watch this. Maybe he does that with your marriage. Maybe he does that with your friendships. When everything is dark and blackened and over and hope is all gone, and God gathers the angels around and says, watch this. Maybe the atheist, maybe the skeptic that might disregard God and feel like there's no hope for that woman. There's no hope for that man. And God pulls the angels together and says, oh yeah, watch this. I can humble the proud and I can exalt the lowly. Watch this. And people you never thought would be saved are now saved. People that you never thought would believe, now they believe because God did a watch this. How wonderful is the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, he has set a tabernacle for the sun. The sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Day and night are shouting to us, God is glorious. God is glorious. God is glorious. Our tragedy is that we typically live most of our life underneath the things that man has made. And we see the glory of man, but not the glory of God. We see the structures that men have made, our beautiful houses that men have made, our cars that we ride in, and we love the comfort, and we love the peace, and we love the things that it affords us to have and the comfortability that we can travel with. But we're shut in. We have allowed ourselves to be shut in with the creations of man, and we wonder at man. But if we would walk out on a starry night and look up at the testimony of God, if we would get out during the day and just watch the sun rise up in its circuit and begin to march across the sky and begin to have somewhat of the proclamation that it is telling us about God and how wonderful God is and marvelous God is. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us this in verse 19. Let's back up just a little bit to verse 17. Talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Never discount God's wrath. It is over for all of those who are in Jesus Christ. But for all of those that are not in Christ, the wrath of God is a very real thing that all people will face and not escape unless they're in Jesus Christ. Your children, your grandchildren, your family members, the people you work with, if they are not born again, they will suffer the eternal wrath of the living God. Do everything you can to see them rescued. God reveals his wrath from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Listen, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Listen to this. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you understand that? God has revealed the reality of an invisible world by the reality of a visible world. This world is testifying to something that is more real than the things we see. And that is the invisible world where the Spirit lies and where God is. And this creation that we see is declaring to us of that invisible world. Don't live your life underneath the things that men have made. But get out in the creation of God and look at it. Let it speak to you. Let it testify to you about God. We have traveled a lot, me and my family. We have experienced many things. We've seen many things. We had the pleasure and the privilege. Well, my wife homeschooled our kids. She just told me to get out the house. I'd always say, what can I do to help? She'd say, leave, because I always wanted to do PE or recess, you know. And she would say, leave, so we would left. But we would take these trips, and I remember one time driving through New Mexico, and we were in the night, and the moon wasn't out, but the stars were out. And we were just in the middle of nowhere. And so we pulled our Suburban off the side of the road into a little dirt path. And we all got out of the Suburban and we laid on the hood of the car. We just looked up at the stars. And for the longest time, nobody said a word. We just looked. It was speaking to us. It was speaking to us about God. My children, young, little children, would just look up into that sky, convinced there is a God. There's no way the order and the meticulous things and the power that is out there happened by accident. It had to be by design. And you can't explain that to a five-year-old, but let them see it. And everything in their spirit that God made in His image speaks back to that creation that, God, You are great. And they knew in their spirit that God was real. We need to expose ourselves and our children and our grandchildren to the powerful witness of God in creation. Get out in it and don't live your life underneath the things that man has made. Because these things that are visible are testifying to us of the incredible God who made it all. Creation tells us there's a God to be praised. Psalm 104 tells us that. This psalmist ended with praising God and rejoicing in the Lord. I reference Psalm 148 right now. Sun and moon, praise Him. All you stars of light, praise Him. Heaven of heavens, praise Him. Let the waters praise Him. Praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and you were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, dragons and things that live in the deep. Let the fire, hail, snow, and fog fulfill His word. You mountains and hills and trees, you beasts and cattle and creeping things and birds, praise Him. You kings and princes and judges and all people of the earth, praise Him. Praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Oh, to praise Him. I want to pause here for just a moment. And I want to think about this, the need and the cry and the call to praise God. We should never have to, especially the redeemed, we should never have to be compelled to praise God. It is a tragedy that men would become skeptics because they have gazed more into their test tubes and their scientific books than they have in the face of God and the power of what He's created. It's of course certain that the sun and the moon and the stars can praise God. We see them every day. We're affected by the sun's heat. We're in awe of the moon's beauty. I woke up this morning very early. In the night, the sky had cleared up from the storm and you could just see the moon. And sometimes these passing clouds, you just looked up, it's just beautiful. It was just beautiful to see that. And every time I walk out, I get up early in the morning, I walk out and you see the stars at night, my heart just instinctively cries to God, I know You're coming soon. Don't forget me when You come for Your church. I just say that every time I look up into the sky when I'm up in the morning and I'm there and I'm just walking with God. I know You're God. I know You're there. I know You're coming. Don't forget me when You come. Take me with You. I want to be with You. I want to see You. And I long for that with God. And I just want to praise the Lord. But God says these sea creatures praise Him. God says the innumerable creatures of the ocean praise Him. God says the trees praise Him. God says the mountains praise Him. God says that the birds praise Him. All of these things praise God. He causes it to rain on the earth where no man is, and in the wilderness where no man is. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's the conclusion of it. God alone sees the rain that's in the desert where no man is. God alone sees the rain falling in the wilderness where no man is. And yet the Bible says it's praising God in that very moment. So is this great and wide sea where are creeping things innumerable, and the Leviathan that is made to play in it. They are praising the Lord. They are praising God because they are doing what they were created to do. The Leviathan is playing in the ocean. Therefore, it is praising God. The birds are doing what they were created to do. And by that, they are praising the Lord. When the rain falls in the wilderness, it is doing what God created it to do. And therefore, it is praising the Lord. When the birds fly, when the beasts creep through the night, they are doing what God created them to do. Therefore, they are praising the Lord. The one thing in all of God's creation that is not doing what God created it to do is man, who has chosen his own way, and we've all gone astray, and we all are committed to doing what we think is right in our own eyes, and we have defied this God with a desire to be our own God and our own ruler and our own Lord, and we have chosen our own way against God, which is the corruption that has come into this world, because we have chosen our own way, and by that, we are having to be called to praise God. And it's not just something that we do, and it's not just something that we say, but it is by being what we are created to be. And we are created now in our redemption to be priests of God and to lead the way in this world of praising the Lord. When they told Jesus to cause the multitudes to stop praising him, do you hear what they're saying? Is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem? Tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, if they held their peace, the rocks would take over and they would praise me. For this is a day to praise the Lord. And thank God the rocks did not have to take the place of man. And would to God today in this world that nothing would have to take the place of the church of the living God, who leads the force and leads the march of praising God in the earth today. Let our praise be heard. Not by simply by what we say or what we confess, by living the life we were created to live, by doing that. There's a story, or there's a scientific research done on this European water spider. And this spider lives at the bottom of ponds and lakes. And it sews a silk web on the bottom part of a lake. But it breathes oxygen. And so it will come up to the surface of the lake and it'll do a somersault on top of the water. And by design that God has made, it'll catch a bubble of air and it'll take it back down to the bottom of the lake and it'll release that air underneath its silk web and it'll come back to the surface of the lake again, do a somersault, catch another bubble of oxygen, go back down to the lake and put it in that silk web until it has enough oxygen reserve in it where it will mate and it will eat and it will live its life. And as it runs out of oxygen, it will go right back through the cycle again. And it glorifies God. And what do you think would happen if that European water spider came up to the surface of the lake and said, you know what? I breathe this oxygen that's on top of the lake. I can sew a web as easily here as I can under the water. I'm kind of tired of having to go back and forth doing this when all the air that I could ever use is right here on the surface. You know what? I'm going to stop living in the bottom of the lake. And if it chose that rebellion against its creator, it would no longer be the unique and beautiful, magnificent creature that it is. Contrary to man, who loves to take his own way rather than the way of God. To our own destruction, we lose our glory. We lose our respect. We lose our created purpose. And the tragedies are all around us with suicide and drug addictions and misery and unhappiness. All of these things that are found. Live the life that God created you to live. And that is a life in relationship with him that loves him and honors him. God is a God of wisdom. God is a God who has created everything and engineered everything to its perfection. I read this about the human body. There are so many things. We could talk about the eye. We could talk about the nerve impulses of the human body. We could talk about the energy of the brain and the magnificence of the electrodes that run throughout the body carrying messages, and how oxygen is carried through the body, through the heart and through the blood and so forth. But just the heart itself is so magnificent. Just to think about it, you know, I got these solar paneled lights. I put them in my yard and they're just trash, you know. They're just like, you go get them for $10 at Walmart, and you put them out there, and dirt gets on them. They stop shining. They break in about a week. They're just like, it's just the things we do. Batteries, I don't know, maybe you got a Tesla, and you drive, you hope the battery's never going to go out, but eventually it goes out, costs you about the price of a new car to get a new battery, and you got to replace these things. Think about your heart. I mean, think about it. Think about the magnificence of the human heart that doesn't have to be charged. Doesn't have to be renewed. It is a muscle that God has energized and that continues to beat pending that you're living a life of health for 70 years, 80 years. Think about this in regards to that. It beats an average of 75 times a minute, 40 million times a year. 2.5 billion times in a life of 70 years. If you're 70 years, your heart has beat 2.5 billion times. That's remarkable. Each beat, the average adult heart discharges 4 ounces of blood. Every beat, it's happening right now, 4 ounces of blood. That's 3,000 gallons a day. That's 650,000 gallons of blood a year. That's enough to fill 81 tank cars of 8 gallons each. Your body does that by the design of God. In 1 hour, your heart does enough work to lift a 150-pound man to the top of a 3-story building. In 12 hours, it expends enough power to lift a 65-ton tank car 1 foot off the ground. And in 70 years, your heart has done enough work, exerted enough power to lift the largest battleship completely out of the water. And God has engineered it to work so magnificently well. And people are going to be skeptical of God. And men are not going to praise God. What would it take to get people to praise God? For the beating of your heart. The 4 ounces of blood that are being gushed out of your heart right now just to feed your body. So that you can maintain health and life. And you think of the creation. You think of the quasars and the galaxies and the black holes. Light traveling 186,000 miles per second. To reach from this galaxy to the next galaxy, it takes light 1,500,000 years to get from this galaxy to the next galaxy. Our sun is moving at 42,000 miles per hour through the solar system, through the galaxy. It's all the galaxy, and they're not colliding into each other. It's the design of God. It's His brilliant, brilliant engineering. This creation is declaring to us God, is declaring to us the glory of God. But God is different from His creation. As someone once said, the difference between God and the creation of God would be some similitude like this. The difference between a love poem and the love. I'd rather have the love than the poem. The painting or the actual landscape. God is as different from His creation as the ring is different from the marriage. As the picture is different from the person. And this God surrounds himself with joyful praise and joyful celebration. So I close with this. To whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things that brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power and not one fails. And why do you say, my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not and neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths will faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There are creatures that still live out in God's creation that don't live under the canopy of man. In our communities and cultures, we'll see them often. Cows set out to pasture all day, all night. They live under the creation of God. And you never see a cow with his family laying on his back, looking up at the stars. You never see any of the animals looking up the wonders of God's creation, saying, would you look at that? Is God not incredible? No, you were designed with that capacity to see and to understand and to know the living God. But it takes a heart of praise to appreciate him. Praise him. Be what you were created to be. Enjoy the one who made all of this for you, that it would point to him who alone is your contentment. Father, I thank you and give you glory and praise and honor, for there is no one like you. No one. You are majestic and glorious in all of your ways. You cover yourself in light and conceal yourself in darkness. You're transcendent over everything, but yet you have put within your creation every testimony to point us to you. And your people that you have redeemed for yourself, we praise you. We turn from our sins. We turn from the wickedness of our heart, the pride of our intellect, to live so skeptically because all we look at is men and men's words. But Lord, when we look at you, our hearts can't do anything but respond that you are God and you love us with an everlasting love. Help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to live the life we're created to live, and in word and in being, we will give you praise.